Acts chapter 15, we'll pick up in verse 6. Not verse 6. We'll pick up in verse 23. Acts 15, verse 23. This is beginning with this letter that was written and is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And as far as the record states, this is the first inspired letter or writing that it has gotten recorded since in the about more than 400 years, because here Malachi was the last prophet of the Old Testament, and after him there was 400 years that there were no prophets. God did not speak to any humans for 400 years, known as the 400 years of silence, until then. When Jesus came first, John the Immerser came first, and they knew that John was a prophet when he came upon the scene. So he being the first prophet since Malachi. And so this letter was then the first inspired writing that we know of since Malachi. And so it could have been pushing 500 years, because here we are 50 AD at this point. And so 450 years, maybe even plus some, because it might have been a little more than 400 BC that Malachi wrote his book. And so this is... some 450 years since there has been any inspired writings. Now, of course, in this first century and for the last 30 or so years, whatever the time frame is, maybe is probably more like maybe 20, maybe 25, then God, namely, John the Immerser, John the Baptist, being a prophet, there were people who were inspired and could speak inspired words, but nothing was written down in a letter that was inspired by the Holy Spirit until this letter, some 450 years after the Old Testament was completed. So, here's verse 23 of Acts 15. They wrote this letter by them. So this letter came from the apostles, the elders, and the brethren. And it was written to the brethren who are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia. And so here we know about the Antioch, which is right here in north of Jerusalem. Some, I believe, is about 300 miles, quite a long ways. And then also Cilicia, and which is just northwest of Antioch, around the corner of the Mediterranean Sea, which also includes Tarsus, being right in the middle of this Cilicia province, being Paul, the Apostle Paul's hometown, where he was from. And so, and we're going to find out here by the end of this chapter that Paul and Silas are going to take this route around and obviously take this letter with them and distribute it as they go, as they're starting the second missionary journey to revisit these congregations in Asia Minor, but they're also going to be visiting these congregations in Cilicia and in Syria here, just being around the corner as they're traveling to Asia Minor, and Syria being the province here that Antioch is part of. So then from there, then you get into the Galatian, and the southern Galatian region is where they'll actually go and spend time revisiting where they had focused most of their time in the first missionary journey. Okay, so then they said greetings. And Coffin said, this is believed to be the first letter that was issued from the apostles. It is likely that this letter was circulated among the congregations until it was incorporated into the book of Acts. Okay, and this letter, the body of this letter is, for the next six verses, in red, since we have heard that some who went out from us, from the congregation here at Jerusalem, have troubled you with words, unsettling your souls, saying that you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no command. So here's a strong statement refuting the false accusation that these Pharisaical Christians, these false teachers, had gone around saying that they were sent and had approval, namely from James, is what they were saying when they showed up here to Antioch, that they were sent by James. And this is a strong refutation that neither James nor anyone else from the congregation, no apostle, and no one sent them. They went up there all on their own and told an untruth that they were sent there by James. Verse 25. It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same things by word of mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. So this is the evidence that we have, verse 28, that this letter was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And they wrote this letter and gave these four commands, not because of James's command or recommendation, but this was by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That's why this letter was written. And that's why it was sent, and that's why these four things are stated. And so, verse 29, here is the meat and the reason for this letter. That you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. And ended the letter with farewell. Kaufman said, the letter explained that the brethren in Jerusalem had heard of the problems created by the false doctrines of those of the circumcision. The tone of this letter was very cordial and shows a genuine concern for the welfare of the Gentile Christians. The words chosen for this communication were warm, sincere, and complimentary, recognizing the marvelous, unselfish devotion of the missionaries who had preached to the Gentiles. The letter plainly asserted that the demand for circumcision and the keeping of the law were not commands given by the inspired apostles. These false teachers had brought innovations into the New Testament congregation for which there were no divine authority. Mankind has not changed his ways. Although the innovation of circumcision is not an issue among modern Christians, the debate over innovations for which there is no such commandment still rages today. Additions to the teachings of God's Word, such as instrumental music and women preachers, still must be opposed by those who demand a thus says the Lord. So I think we will end there, and Lord willing, we will pick up with verse 30 next week.